Okay, good afternoon. I'm Matthew Cohen. I'm Executive Secretary to the Council. I'd like to call this meeting of the New York State Council on Human Blood and Transfusion Service to order. Dr. Chiafalo, our former chair, stepped down earlier this year, and the nominee for our new chair is still awaiting approval of his appointment. I'd like to thank Dr. Chiafalo for his many years of service to the Council, and in the absence of a chair, I will be coordinating today's meeting. As a reminder for our members and guests, the meeting will be recorded, and this recording will be available to the public on the DOH website. So please speak loud and clear when you need to. Speak one at a time. State your name before making or seconding a motion. And perhaps most importantly, go on mute if you are not talking. I'd like to ask the board members and then staff to introduce themselves by stating their names and affiliations. And we'll go through the council first in alphabetical order. So, Dr. Elder, please.
Hi, this is Rachel Elder. I am the lab director at Krause Hospital in Syracuse, New York.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Hilbert?
This is Tim Hilbert. I'm the medical director of the blood bank at Tisch Hospital and NYU Langone Medical Center.
Thank you. Mr. Husky?
Good afternoon. I am David Husky, appointed by the governor's office to represent the people of the state of New York.
Dr. McCarthy.
Hi, Philip McCarthy, Roswell Park, Transplant and Cellular Therapy Program.
Okay, Beverly.
And I'm Beverly Rausch. I'm the director of the Clinical Laboratory Evaluation Program and the acting director of the Blood Resources Program for the New York State Department of Health.
Okay. Again, as I said before, I'm Matthew Cohen. I'm Executive Secretary to the Council.
Hi, I'm Jason Riegert. I'm an attorney with the Department of Health.
And I'm Andrea Garavelli, and I am assisting with facilitating the meeting today.
Okay, I would like to thank all the Council members for their time and commitment to making these meetings a priority. Your attendance is critical to the success of this program, especially because at this point we don't have quorum without you here. So thank you very much. Now I will introduce the members of the public who are attending today's meeting. I will announce each registered participant. There is time reserved at the end of the meeting for public comment. Today's participants include Kiosha Barrett from CSL Plasma, Roger Brinster from Takeda, Nellie Cherney from KED Plasma, Ruth Espinoza from KED Plasma, Gina Horan from American Red Cross, New York, Pennsylvania region, James Knowles from Grifols, Maria Loker from American Red Cross, Marcella Magalhaes from Grifols, Mark O'Rourke from Takeda, Heather Pratt from KED Plasma, Eva Quinley from CSL Plasma, Aaron Renshaw from Immunotech, Bill Spear from PPTA Global, Stephanie Tripp from Arnot Health, Patrick Turner from Immunotech, Mark Houston from Barrel Fritz, Margaret Vandervoort and Todd Vandervoort from the Vandervoort Group, and also two other members who are pending approval to the council itself, Amy Schmidt from CSL Plasma and Jessica Jacobson from NYU. Our agenda today includes approval of the minutes of our May 21st, 2021 meeting, discussion and repeal of 10 NYCRR subpart 58.2.14, and discussion of a proposed resolution to allow remote participation by video conference in extraordinary circumstances. Our first order of business is approval of the minutes of our May 21st, 2021 meeting. Are there any discussion or comments about the minutes? Okay. Hearing no discussion or comments, may I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
I shall move.
Beverly, Ms. Rausch moves. Can I have a second?
Rachel, I'll second.
Thank you. Okay. Roll call vote. Dr. Elder seconded, approves. Dr. Hilbert?
Yep. Approve.
Mr. Husky?
Approve.
Dr. McCarthy?
Approve.
Beverly?
Approve.
Okay. Thank you. That was relatively quick. Our next order of business is discussion and repeal of 10 NYCRR subpart 58.2.14. Ms. Rash will describe the reasons for this proposal. Bev.
Thanks, Matt. Legislation was introduced last year that is to establish separate registration for source plasma donation centers. Such facilities will no longer be defined as a blood bank requiring a permit under Section 574 Public Health Law. This legislation was approved and signed into law with a June 19, 2022 effective date. The new law specifies that source plasma donation centers shall comply with federal requirements for donor eligibility testing and source plasma collection. Source plasma donation centers currently operating in New York hold blood bank permits and are subject to the provisions of Section 58.2.14 of Title 10 of the New York Codes, Rules, and Regulations. That section is so titled Collection of Source Plasma. This section of regulation is more stringent than federal regulations. After June 19, 2022, source plasma donation centers will no longer be included in the definition of a blood bank, and Section 58-2.14 will become obsolete. We therefore propose the repeal of that section as it will be contradictory to public health law.
Okay. Thank you, Bev. We can now begin the formal question and discussion period. The council members may ask any additional questions they have about the repeal of this subpart. Council members, any questions or discussion?
Is there any impact? What is the impact?
So the impact, there are regulations being proposed currently that are under review internally for the registration process and oversight of source plasma donation centers. So the impact will be by repealing this section of 58.2.14, there will be minimal impact because, as I stated, the law states that the source plasma donation centers must comply with the federal regulations, and the law actually specifies that we can only make regulations that are reasonably more stringent, where these are significantly more stringent currently. So we would be definitely contradictory to the public health law if we continued to have these regulations in place. And furthermore, for any entity that is doing source plasma collection, if they so choose to get that registration, these regulations would not be applicable under that new registration process.
Any other questions? Okay. May I have a motion to repeal 10 NYCRR subpart 58.2.14?
I saw motion.
I'll second.
Who was the first?
David Husky.
Great. Thank you. Dr. Elder, you were the second? Okay. Roll call vote. Dr. Elder?
Okay.
Dr. Hilbert?
Approved.
Mr. Husky?
Approved.
Dr. McCarthy?
Bev? Approve.
Okay, thank you. Next, Jason Riegert, the senior attorney in the Division of Legal Affairs, is going to discuss the open meeting law and a proposal to allow remote participation by council members. Jason.
Thanks, Matt. Under recent amendments to the New York State Open Meetings Law, video conferencing will only be allowed to occur if there is an in-person quorum in the location or locations where the meeting is held. Individual members of the council will only be able to attend by video conferencing under extraordinary circumstances, and prior to utilizing this exception, the council would need to adopt a resolution authorizing the use of such video conferencing. It is important to note that the council may conduct its meetings at multiple physical locations, provided all locations are open to in-person public attendance and members at various public locations would count towards quorum. However, members attending virtually will not count towards that quorum. So when video conferencing is utilized, members of the public attending the meeting virtually will have the same opportunity to make public comments as anyone else attending the meeting. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Okay, any questions from the council?
This is Tim. I just had a question. Maybe I had two questions. One is how do you decide what are extraordinary circumstances? I mean, does someone have to make the decision that this is extraordinary versus something else being less extraordinary? And when we say multiple locations, are those specific locations? What counts as a location that would be a physical location?
Sure. So for the physical location, it has to be available to the public. So if we had this meeting in like a New York State DOH conference room, that would be it has to be ADA accessible. You have to make the address known to the public and has to be available for the public to attend. And it has to be of a significant size to sufficiently be able to fit the expected members of the public that might attend. So typically how that we've been able to work that is, you know, if we have the meeting open with a site in Albany at one of the DOH facilities in Albany, and then we have sites down in New York City and maybe Buffalo or Rochester, so that members could attend at one of those locations. As far as extraordinary circumstances, the law does include a non-exhaustive list of examples of such circumstances as including disability, illness, caregiving responsibilities, or any other significant or unexpected factor or event which precludes the member's physical attendance at such meeting. So that, I think, gives you an idea of the types of things that they're looking at as far as extraordinary circumstances.
So if it were multiple locations, they would be concurrent, like for the same meeting, you could have more than one location?
Correct.
And who would, and sort of similarly, who would decide that that was acceptable, like as a location? I mean, is it up to Bev and Matt, or is it up to, does it have to be submitted to someone?
I mean, I think if you had a location in mind, we could definitely look at that. Again, it would have to be ADA accessible, and we'd have to make that location available to the public. So if it was something like a meeting room in a public library or something like that. But typically the Department of Health would facilitate, securing one or more conference rooms to hold the meeting in, and that would be the locations of the meeting.
And Tim, from my past experience with other boards, we have had meetings at academic institutions as well. Conference rooms that were accessible to the public, that were ADA accessible, are reasonable. Theoretically, if NYU has a facility or has a room that's open to the public and ADA accessible, that could be an official location.
And they have to video, right?
And it needs to have video capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you do it at the local DOH office in general, that is okay. It seems like we had done that actually, at least in Syracuse, already before mm-hmm. COVID.
Yes.
That is appropriate.
Yep. Yes.
Saying the general public is allowed to video in without having any extreme issue?
Yeah, so the meeting would be, so if we make the meeting available by video conference, then the public could attend with the, WebEx or Zoom or whatever through that link. And then they also would have an opportunity to make public comments as though they were at the meeting in person.
So theoretically, this makes it accessible to everybody. Sorry, Rachel.
Go ahead. Is critical staffing a extraordinary circumstance?
I mean, I think it could be to the extent that there was some as an unexpected factor or event which might preclude physical attendance. I think that that could be, yes.
Thanks.
And just does the decision of an extraordinary circumstance, is that something that has to be made prior to each meeting, or is that how it works, or?
Yes, that would be how it would work, would be that prior to the meeting that you would basically convey that you won't be able to make it in person and that you'll need to video in.
But again, the individuals that are attending virtually from a non-public location would not count towards quorum.
One other thing to keep in mind is so that currently there's Executive Order 11, which has been renewed until June 14th of 2022. If the governor renews that, then this new law that we're talking about will be delayed so long as Executive Order 11 continues to be in effect.
And then we can continue meeting as we are today.
So then we can continue meeting like we are today. Once that executive order goes away, this new law will take effect. And that's where we'll have to have the multiple locations and video conferencing will only be under extraordinary circumstances. All the members will be required to be on video. That's another thing. So.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Jason. Would one of the council members like to propose such a motion?
I'd like to make a motion. So I make a motion that under extraordinary circumstances, this public body permits its members to participate remotely by video conference from a location not otherwise open to the public. Extraordinary circumstances shall include, but not be limited to, temporary or permanent disability, illness, caregiving responsibilities, or any other significant or unexpected factor or event which precludes the member's physical attendance at such meeting.
Can I have a second?
I'll second. It's Rachel.
Thank you. Okay. So, Rachel, you approve, presumably. It's your second. Dr. Hilbert?
Approved.
Mr. Husky? David, we didn't catch you.
Approved.
Thank you. Dr. McCarthy.
Approve.
Bev.
Approve.
Okay, the motion approved. Thank you. Next is the public comment portion of the meeting. Are there any members of the public who wish to make comments today? If so, please state your name prior to making any comments. Okay, hearing no public comments, that concludes the agenda items for discussion. May I have a motion to adjourn our meeting? We are done.
Am I allowed to make a comment even though I'm
yes, please.
A member of the public? That's right. I think I brought this up before. I was asked, we have a milk bank, and they would like to ask the way they have changed the regulations for donating blood to allow, I believe there's a change in tattoos that was changed for allowing, instead of 12 months, I think it's 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I guess for the blood donation, the milk donation, it's under tissue and it's still 12 months for tattoos. And he said that there's a lot of ineligible milk bank donors because of this tattoo component. Is that something we could look at? And who does look at that? So I was asked to bring that up.
Sure. So I'm here today as the executive secretary to the council, but one of my other roles is director of the Tissue Resources Program. And so we are working on updates to Part 52, the regulations governing tissue banking. And that is something that we are looking at. But as you can imagine, that is a slow process. But I appreciate your input, and it's certainly something that we are aware of. The FDA has changed the requirements for blood donors, and our regulation is separate to the FDA and exists outside of FDA, but we try to be aware of what FDA is doing. And so, again, it's something that we are looking at and hope to address in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you. So I can tell him you're looking at it.
Yes. Yes, please. Right. And I have a copy of his email sitting on my desk back in the office, as it turns out.
He is going to be very persistent. So if good. We could, good. Good.
Perfect. That is helpful to me, actually. So I appreciate it.
Excellent.
Anything else for discussion? Okay, may I have a motion to adjourn our meeting?
I'll make a motion. It's Rachel.
Thank you, Dr. Elder. Second?
McCarthy, second.
Thank you. Dr. Hilbert?
Approved.
Mr. Husky?
Approved.
Okay, Bev?
Approved.
Okay, thank you, everyone. We are adjourned.
Thank you so much.
Until next time.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye. Thank you for your service. Well,